You're listening to The Computer Guys. I'm Dave.
And I'm Kevin, and we're The Computer Guys here from Macatawa Technologies for the next half hour plus to answer all your computer and technology-related questions.
That's right, Kev. It is Wednesday afternoon, and
it's a bonus edition. We've got a couple extra minutes.
We do, yeah. Usually they're less than a half hour, but you're right, Kev, so we're excited about that. So we'd love to hear from you here, and the best way is if you get to the phones, give us a call. 395-1450 is the number here, 395-1450. I'm sure you've got that number memorized, so give us a call. But if you're a little phone shy, you can always
send us an email. It's computerguys@whtc.com. We'll be checking that throughout the show as well as throughout the week. So if you have access to email, go ahead, send us an email, computerguys@whtc.com, and we will do our best to get to it on the show.
That's right. Well, Kev, there's always something happening in the world of computers, and we'll also try to inform our listeners today of some of the things going on. Some of the stories that we have are a little more serious, and sometimes they're a little bit off topic, but somewhat related to computers.
Mm-hmm.
So we always try to keep it off topic, but it's always fun. You never know what type of calls you're going to get here, too. So hopefully we'll have a few of our listeners with some computer questions, and we can help you out. We do enjoy helping people out. Sometimes in the radio here, it can be slightly difficult to answer your question. And
some things you just have to see.
Yep.
And that's a little hard with radio. So maybe the next step for us is TV.
That's right. But, some weeks we'll even have a question where somebody will call in and not sure if what we advise them solves it. So it'd be kind of fun to hear if you've called into our show over the last couple of weeks or months, whether or not we pointed you in the right direction or sent you completely in the wrong way. And
well, if so,
maybe we
want to
filter those.
That's right. We better get those screened.
Oh, that's
so
all right. The complaint department
Dave's
can be
cell phone.
That's right.
Hey, this we didn't get a chance to talk about this last week. New format for music. Have you heard about this? You know, the CD has been around for a long time.
Well, MP3 is kind of the new format.
Yeah, but a way to actually sell it, the physical medium for music. There's some companies out there that are sort of pushing a new format. First, it was vinyl, then cassettes, then for a few moments, it seemed, 8 tracks, and then CDs, then MP3 files, all different ways to listen to your music. Now there's another way making its way to the scene. It's a small memory card about the size of a fingernail. Will the teeny discs make you want to ditch your CDs or vinyl collection? Probably not. But the discs are part of a new way to get music into the hands of people. SanDisk, one of the companies who actually makes those chips, is teaming up with 4 major record labels and a couple other retailers to sell the albums on micro SD memory cards. Now, micro SD is significantly smaller than SD. SD, you've probably seen it in digital cameras. Micro SD is another step smaller. It really is about the size of your fingernail. So
my fingernails are a little bigger than average.
Then maybe they're bigger than the SD, so it might be smaller than your fingernail.
That's right.
So the idea, called slot music, will allow music to be sold in a physical format, but makes it possible to take music and use it in the digital formats that so many of us take advantage of these days. Besides being able to rip the contents to music or media player, many cell phones or other devices have these slots built in to allow you to plug the card in directly, allowing you to listen to it that way. It's unclear exactly when albums would be, first be distributed in the slot format, but keep an eye out. Might not be too long. If you want to check it out, check out SanDisk's website, sandisk.com, SANDISK.com.
The reason that they want to sell those is because they're so small that they hope people will lose them and have to buy them over and over again.
It could be.
CDs are a little more difficult to lose.
They are, and it's really, part of this is a ploy to, I mean, SanDisk's on board because, hey, it's their little chips. Of course they're going to do it. But a lot of retailers, want to get people back into their stores. So they're looking for another physical medium, to put the music on. Mm. So
it's a good point because, a lot of people are going to the digital.
Download it. You can download it from any number of sites. iTunes is one place. Walmart has distribution online. Amazon, tons of other services where you basically buy your music on your computer and just download it. Never enter the store. So the other thing that is interesting about this that I read is the actual chip's going to have more space than the music takes up. You're going to buy an album. An album doesn't take up a full gig. They're proposing that these would be about a gig in size. So you could put on extra material, potentially some music videos, some other art, information, bios, related to band members. So it could be an interesting way to distribute that.
kind of like in the good old days of CDs, you'd buy one and sometimes it would have that little thing says extra features on it. Put it in your computer.
Sure. Yeah.
Not as often as second disc, but if, you know, it's I remember getting a CD of the Bare Naked Ladies and you could pop that in the band.
Yeah, that's right.
Put that into the computer. And, you know, this is back in like 95, 96. Uh-huh. That was awesome.
Yeah, that's right. It was high tech.
You don't get that a whole lot with the digital downloads.
No, you kind of get the bare bones with that.
Yeah, that's a great segue into the next story here.
Well, that's what I was hoping for.
Software makes iTunes accessible to the blind.
Oh, interesting.
You know, this is definitely an area that I'll admit I don't often think about. And I think, you know, a lot of people don't think about when it comes to computer or technology, how accessible is it, that type of thing. Let me go ahead and read a little bit of the story here to you. Jim Denham, the assistive technology coordinator at the Perkins School for the Blind, is looking forward to spending this rainy weekend at home on his computer. Thanks to a technological advance, Denham, who is blind, can sit at home by himself and browse among the thousands of audiobooks, podcasts, and albums digitally stored on Apple's iTunes. There's a podcast out there that identifies different bird calls, and I really want to check that out, he said yesterday during a break from teaching on his students on how to use this new software. The breakthrough was announced yesterday at Perkins Storage School in Watertown. The new software, which transforms the written information on an iTunes-linked computer screen into speech or braille, stemmed from an agreement between Apple and the Federation of the Blind in Massachusetts. So, you know, when a lot of times when you think, there's a lot that's going on your computer screen, whether it's a website that you're going to, programs that you're running, and certainly if they've got this new program here that allows you to understand or know what's on the screen with iTunes, that's a good thing. One more reason. Now, Kev, maybe we'll get a few more subscribers to our podcast.
Could be. So I would like to know what our podcast is like in Braille.
Yeah,
it's a positive experience.
No, I would imagine it would just be the title. I don't think that they would play the whole thing of it. That wouldn't make sense. It would just be the title, you know.
They should do the whole thing. Yeah. It's talk-based, you know. It's not like we sing, except for that one time.
I sang once on the radio.
I know. It'd be hard to put that in Braille.
People never let me forget about that. So, you know, it's whenever it comes to accessibility with computers, I'll admit I'm one of the first to forget about that since I'm neither blind nor deaf.
Yep. But that's it's a huge information outlet, and it's great when people can find a way to make it that much more accessible for those people. So,
yep. And so now, if you've got iTunes, there's some new software out there that'll help you.
Is it free?
Out, so. Well, that's what I'm looking through here. They don't have any pricing for that. So I would imagine
probably not.
You never know.
Okay. Hey, speaking of iTunes. Norway is again saying nay to iTunes digital rights management.
Oh, no, I actually apologize, Kev. That is actually included in iTunes, it looks like,
according to
this story. So I would say yes, free.
Right, that's cool. More rumbling in Europe about Apple iTunes Store, and this time it comes from Norway, where, according to Reuters, they've announced plans for legal action against Apple, and what it says is an unfair copyright restriction. I want Apple to make their services interoperable so that you can play music bought on iTunes on other devices, including mobile phones. Norwegian consumer ombudsman Bjorn Erik Thon told Reuters. That's a tough one. Consumer agencies in Norway have been making this complaint for the last 2 years. So that's one of the complaints that a lot of people have. And there was a French attempt to behead iTunes digital rights management as well in 2006, and it failed. So nobody's been able to get them to do anything. Now, there are a handful of selections, the limited iTunes Plus selection, where you get digital rights management free music, meaning you can play it any way you want on any device, and you can distribute it, you know, in and amongst your devices, convert it, all of that. So... that is a very limited selection.
I don't even know the last time I bought an album. So, you know, a lot of times when we talk about iTunes or iPods.
What do you do? You just steal them?
No, I just haven't bought music in a while. Tons of CDs at home.
I know.
Converted into MP3.
Yep.
Well, Kev, here's a question for you. Can you change the blue screen of death color to something other than blue? If you've been running Windows over the last 10 years, I would imagine at some point, almost all of our listeners have come across that annoying blue screen of death.
That's right.
As it's commonly referred to. So the question is, I mean, that's, you know, the blue screen of death. Could it be changed to the white screen of death or the yellow screen of death?
But see, the problem is if it were, then nobody would know what you're talking about. Yeah, I had this white screen pop. I don't know. White screen.
Well, this is kind of funny. This is a little article I happened to stumble upon here. It is possible to change the background from blue to whatever color you'd like.
Hmm.
So interesting. If you get a lot of blue screens, rather than if you don't want to address the problem, you could always change the color. Let's go ahead and take this phone call here. Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the computer guys.
Yeah, every time I want to download a video clip, it goes for like a few seconds and then it stops. And then it goes a little bit and it stops again. And I'm wondering, people have said there's something you can do with the bottom line, that it's buffering or something. Could you simply explain how to get that to run continuously?
There are a couple of options. It's because the video is just not downloading fast enough through your internet connection to be able to play it.
Okay.
Sometimes what I'll do is I'll run into this problem with either at work or at home. Sometimes when it first starts, you can just pause it.
Okay.
And then it'll show you a little progress line moving across to the right there.
Mm-hmm.
And just wait till it gets all the way over to the end, and then you can hit play.
Or even halfway across. You kind of got to give it a head start. And that's exactly what it is it's when the video is playing, it has to play at a certain speed. And for whatever reason, whether it's your internet connection or something on the side that's actually sending you that file, it's just not fast enough. So you kind of have to wait a little bit, let it preload part of the way, and then go ahead and start to play.
Okay, and if I do that, it should just play through.
It should play through. Yeah, if you wait till it gets all the way to the end, it should play through just fine. But okay. If you don't want to wait that long, wait till it's, you know, a third or half the way, and then go ahead and try it.
Yeah, because it's really frustrating to have it stop every few seconds.
It's a little less enjoyable to watch that way.
Yeah. All right, thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for your call.
Bye.
I've noticed one other tip, too, is a faster internet connection will help with that.
Yeah. But some people are like, I don't mind waiting if I could just watch it, you know, so pause it, give it 30 seconds.
We actually had my sister's graduation from Northern Michigan this spring was online, and it was a little too slow at my grandparents', so we went to our office, and it played there just fine.
There you go. Watch your sister graduate.
That's right. Got another call here. Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the computer guys.
Good afternoon.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. How can we help you here today?
Well, I don't know if you guys have addressed this before or not, but I've left my computer logged on accidentally for a couple of days, and I've got this nasty little worm kind of virus called MSAV. Have you heard of that at all?
You said MSAV?
MS, like a couple spaces, and an AV. It seems to be some type of a worm or a virus or spyware.
Is it like Windows antivirus?
Well, it's. I think I've read a little...
It's a Trojan.
Apparently it's a virus that won't let you remove it. When I go to my Windows update to try to remove it, it disallows it.
Yeah, it's because it kind of comes in as a system file, and it's actually running when your system is running, and then, you know, you have problems trying to get it to actually go away because it can't delete something that's in use.
Right.
Do you have antivirus protection on your computer?
Yes, I do.
Okay. What kind do you have?
Trend Micro.
Trend Micro? What I would probably do is fully update your Trend Micro and then restart your computer in safe mode. Are you familiar with that?
I'm not familiar with safe mode.
Okay. When you go ahead and shut your computer all the way down, turn it back on, and as soon as you see that little first splash screen before it gets to the Windows screen, just begin pressing F8 repeatedly every 2 seconds.
F8,
okay. Function 8.
Yep.
And it'll pop up and say, how do you want to start up? And one of the options is safe mode.
Okay.
When you load into safe mode, the graphics will look different, and things will be a little bit larger than normal. But when you're in there, run a full system scan with your Trend Micro, and it should pick it up and remove it.
Okay, because I have run my Trend Micro. It identifies it.
But it can't get rid of it.
But it can't get rid of it.
Yeah, if it's identifying it and you run it in safe mode, it should be able to get rid of it.
Okay, great. I'll try that.
Okay.
Thanks for your help.
Yeah, thanks for your call.
You betcha.
Definitely annoying when viruses get on there, and safe mode is definitely a great way. It's just the safe mode, it, it's going to look funny too. When you turn it on, it's going to, all the icons are going to look weird. Your background might not be there. And that's fine. That's the way it's designed to be. It's really an environment where technicians will go in and do some troubleshooting.
Yeah, what it is it's running only a handful of services, only the core stuff that it needs to run. And so it'll eliminate most Trojans and viruses. Now, if it's a really well-written virus, it's still going to be there in safe mode. And then you need a little bit more aggressive action.
That's right. Then the next steps.
You get the bad out.
That's right. So thanks for that call here. If you've got any questions for the computer guys, give us a call, 395-1450. Wednesday afternoons till 1 o'clock here, we'll be taking your calls. Otherwise, you're always welcome to email us, computerguys@whtc.com. And don't forget, we've got a podcast. You can listen to us later if you're wondering what's going on here or if you missed the show. So,
okay, computer guys, Red Kingman here with a question. My computer fixer is now off at college.
Oh,
yeah.
That's no good.
And so the printer, it prints pages, but they're blank. And I have done every troubleshooting thing that I can do at 49, and I'm still not getting anything but blank pages.
Does it just spit out a bunch of blank pages, even if you haven't printed something?
No. When I hit print, it goes through the motions. I even hear sounds in there.
Oh, so it's trying to print, and it just comes out completely blank. What type of printer do you have?
Brand new Canon.
Okay. Has it ever worked?
Oh, yeah. Before my son went off to college, it was fine.
Oh, he sabotaged it. That's the problem.
That's right. He just wants to know how much he was needed around the house.
Well, he's going to find out soon if he can't help me.
That's right.
Brand new Canon, and it used to print. Have you tried to, the first thing to usually check is new cartridges.
I put new cartridges in, and it printed fine. Everything was fine. Suddenly, I think there was a paper jam, and we got an error. I cleaned out all the paper, turned it off, turned it back on, hit print. Again, I heard the sound, and then it spits out a blank.
And it goes back and forth like it's printing over the entire page. Yep. It sounds like it's an ink delivery issue. Whether it's not, I don't know if potentially there's a clog in your ink cartridge. If you might want to try another cartridge. The other thing you could do is reseat the ones that are in there, pull them out.
Okay.
You can see if there's any ink on the actual head of the cartridge and then pop them back in. I can't remember, depending on the model number.
Some of those Canons, do you have like three ink colors? Okay. Yeah.
Four, actually.
Four. One for black. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And, yeah, I don't know if you know this off the top of your head, but if you look at the bottom of your ink cartridge, does it look like, does it have the print head built into it? Looks like a little metal ribbon.
I think they did have it.
Okay, if that's built into the cartridge, the good news is, regardless of whether that's clogged or damaged or whatever, if you put in a brand new cartridge, it's going to work just fine.
There's no little pieces of paper stuck underneath where that little...
Well, that's my next problem. I don't know how to open up the printer to get deep inside. I was just pulling from what I could pull.
Oh, okay. There's usually a way where you can lift up the top of the printer, and a lot of times they'll actually have an access from the back of the printer as well.
Okay, maybe I'll try that.
Check that out.
I've done the front and couldn't get anywhere.
Yeah, a lot of times it's, I don't know how Canons have it, Kev. I don't know if you know, but Canon's a good printer too. Maybe there's still a little piece of something in there jammed under those ink heads.
Yeah, so I definitely try reseating the cartridges too and see if that makes a difference.
If not...
at least it's going through the motion, so that's a good sign.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's, it's funny that he says my troubleshooter is off to college. I can't tell you how many people we work with whose kids are the ones who solve their problems,
Just, they're gone. They're out of town. That's whatever it is.
That's right. They're off to college. I don't want to bother them. Let's go ahead and take another call here. Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the computer guys.
Hey, tell Red to take the little plastic cover off the face of the printer ink. That's probably the problem.
Well, if it printed with the new ones, I would imagine that he took those off. That was where I was leading to with the question, has it ever worked? We've seen that before, though.
All right.
Thanks a lot. Bye. I've had that at least a couple of times where we've had somebody ask us that, Kev. Can't print. And they're sneaky with it too, especially on I found with the HP cartridges, because that tape was pretty clear. You couldn't really tell.
Yeah.
And it didn't really look like something you were supposed to take off.
Yeah. So I mean, I'm sure if you read that little booklet that they give you, it gives you perfect
the directions.
Who reads that?
I never read the directions. Yeah. Half the fun of putting things together, whether it's electronics or whatever else, is trying to figure it out.
But then you can't complain when it doesn't work.
You can complain.
No, you can't. It's your own fault.
Sure you can.
It's your own fault.
You can complain, but then it's just your own fault. So, no, I'm definitely guilty of that. Half the time, whether it's a new TV or something new with a computer, half the fun to me is ripping it all apart, seeing how it all goes together. And then if I absolutely have to, then I'll maybe go the directions.
Yeah, figure it out. Well, I guess I'll have to read the directions.
Right?
Yeah. It's true.
Well, Kev, this is kind of a lighthearted, a little slightly off-topic story. But one of our good friends to talk about here on the show is Google.
Mm-hmm.
I like Google Maps. I like the live.com maps personally a little bit better because they've got the aerial bird's eye view.
Yeah, which gives you a better perspective. If you're looking for the satellite imagery.
Right. Satellite imagery.
Yeah.
Well, here we go. There's a Russian town which has put a giant smiley on Google Maps.
Nice.
Citizens of a Russian town that shall remain unnamed because I can't pronounce it, calculated when the satellite QuickBird, which takes images for Google Earth and Google Maps, would cross above their city. And they used people to make a giant smiley face. A rock concert on the main square attracted many people and everyone got a yellow cape. It looks like someone at Google was quicker than usual to put up the new data. So maybe Google likes the idea of an entire town working hard to get its 15 minutes of Google fame.
That's pretty hilarious.
So take a look here, Kev. It's a black and white photo, but you can kind of see. It's you go there, you look it over.
Oh, yeah.
And they did a little yellow smiley face. You know,
that's like, actually pretty good. Does that have teeth?
Oh, it's a little smile. It was a rock concert, you know, so they had.
I know. It looks like it has teeth, though.
Like
you see that?
A jack-o'-lantern, maybe?
Yeah, it looks a little funny.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't know if that's
it didn't look like that in
not.
Color. It didn't look like that.
Okay. In black and white, it's teeth.
That's right.
That's interesting.
So anyway, but it's, you know, that's kind of neat. They figured out exactly when it's going to go over. I wish that it would be kind of fun to know exactly when the Google satellite's coming over Holland and
go figure it out and start a big bonfire. Get that on.
Or stand in your driveway. Just go stand in your driveway.
Yeah, but you can't see it on the resolution, the Google one.
You can on live.
Yeah, I know.
Live.com.
You got to figure out which one. Well, if you lived in a higher populated area.
Well,
on
Google.
Yeah, the Google satellite
imagery is better. You can hardly even see Holland in Google.
Nah, it's all blurry.
Barely even see Lake Mac.
Yep.
So I just thought that was kind of a fun little article. There's a lot of different things, obviously. Some good and some bad about the Google Maps. Some people have gotten a little upset about it.
That's right.
Also, Kev, got some Windows 7.
There's been a lot of
negativity about Vista. Some deserved, some not.
Yep. Well, we talked about the Mojave little project that they did.
You heard about that, right? Yeah.
Where they named it something else and gave it to people, and they were extremely satisfied.
Yeah.
They just didn't know.
Well, October 28, Microsoft's going to be handing out the Alpha version.
Ooh, interesting. That's so quick.
They're moving fast.
Wow.
But one of the things, surprising, Kev, right now Microsoft is planning on stripping out email and photo applications that are built in.
Okay.
So the next version of Windows will come without the clutter of extra software as standard, although you'll still be able to download equivalent software from Windows Live.
You know, that's not a bad idea.
So, for instance, Windows Mail.
Mm-hmm.
Won't be
in Vista. Outlook Express and, you know, XP and before.
But in Vista now, it's called Windows Mail. So, of course, it'll still be a free download. Also, what was the other program here they had?
Let's see. It would just be the Microsoft, what's it called? I'm forgetting the name of it. The
Windows Photo Gallery.
Yep. Photo Gallery.
And Windows Movie Maker.
They'll no longer be included.
Right. They'll no longer be included.